Well, there's a sense of sobriety coming into South Africa now after all the excitement of the government of national unity. And we get to see this with the financial results of companies, particularly retailers. And the man who's been around the block many, many times is Michael Markies, the chief executive, has been running the company called Truworths International for 23 years. So he's seen it all. Michael, there was a lot of excitement after the government of national unity. Your business update today for the 4 months to the end of October came out, and it showed there that as much as there could be a better mood in the country, people aren't actually starting to spend anymore yet. Your share price fell quite sharply today, 4.5% as a result of the numbers. I guess you've, as I said before, you've been around the block, you've seen it all. Is this another Ramaphosa false dawn?
You know, look, it's that's then you framed that very well. I have been around before, and so many times there is a anticipation, either negative or positive, of an immediacy, and it's always a marathon, not a sprint, I've found. So I do feel, and still do, and have all along, that not only the government of national unity, but even circumstances are such generally that our economy is starting for the first time in almost a decade to look more promising. And it seems to be confirmed by the people who are much more knowledgeable than me, mainly our international and local analysts and shareholders, that they're all feeling more positive about the economy in the next 12 to 18 months, maybe 2 years. So, one has to be careful about talking about the two-pot system and a sudden dramatic turnaround and so on. So we are a little disappointed with our numbers for the last 2-3 months. But on the other end, there's Black Friday coming up, there's Christmas, debtors book is a little bit better. Let's wait and see over the next 12 months what things, what time brings. I think it's too early to make any judgments at this point in time.
Last year, though, the Truworths Group, and remember we're talking here about 800 stores in South Africa, your sales were only up about 3.5%, so less than inflation. Now, this business update show your sales in South Africa were flat, no increase at all, despite an inflation rate of, what, 4.5%. So from that side, from a purely rational perspective, you are going backwards in real terms. That does send quite a signal on what's going on in the high street.
No, you're right. I mean, but it's not just the last year and the current last few months. It has been tough for a few years. And there is definitely a issue of the size of our market, and the pie is not growing significantly in units in fashion clothing. And there's more and more competition, and that's from international and local. So it's challenging at the moment. And especially, look, we are more premium, we're more expensive. So you've got a sort of static marketplace. People are short of money and spare cash flow. They are under a lot of financial strain and stress, and we are a little bit more premium. So it's a difficult market. And then you add to it international competition, local competition. It's not an easy game at the moment. That's why everyone is quite enthusiastic about hoping the economy does improve, because we haven't seen 2% economic growth in South Africa for quite some time. We believe, our belief internally is that if there is 2% economic growth or thereabouts, our business is likely to benefit significantly from that. So yes, it might be wishful thinking, but we feel quite positive about that side of it.
Is it because the business is geared to an upturn, given that you've had so many difficult years, so many challenging years? You've had to refine things, get your costs down, get the efficiencies up. It's almost like one hopes that South African businesses, if they can just get a little bit of that wind from behind, it'll leverage it quite well.
You see, look, if you think about it, I can only talk about my industry. The retailers in fashion are competent. I mean, my competitors, our own business, they've survived through some really tough times over decades. I mean, even what was the largest one had, I don't want to say their name, it's not right, but they had terrible financial difficulty. They're still around and they're still doing okay. So the retailers are well run, well positioned. So they all have to, in these circumstances, in order to survive, you have to run the businesses properly. You can't survive otherwise. And I do believe, if I talk about Truworth specifically, we have a very well-run, competent business. We, because of what you've just said about it's been a tough period for up to 7, 8, 9, 10 years, we are continuously trying to work our way in the business, improve it, reposition it, run it better, make prices better, make our merchandise more appealing, have good stores, e-commerce. We work at it all the time. People don't get despondent. Yeah, they're sort of enthusiastic and excited about improvement. And I think our competitors are as well. So, I do believe we don't need 10, we'd love 5% economic growth, but give us 2. And I think you'll find that a lot of the retail businesses really pick up a lot as a result of that. That is my personal belief.
So just a little bit of a breeze from behind rather than all these winds from the front. But what about the online side? We'll talk about the UK in a moment, and you've got serious competence there where nearly half of your sales in the UK come online. Whereas in South Africa, you've got these huge challenges, no doubt, from the Chinese in particular. Now Amazon's opening here. It's starting to get more aggressive. Are they cutting away from traditional retailers like Truworths?
Yeah, that question is such a good one because one always, and it's been around for, we've been debating it when you think about it for 10 years. So our e-commerce growth has been very good. If you want to talk about, you see our business sales growth is small, minimal, and yet our e-commerce has never been under 30% growth from a tiny base. And it now has reached 5%. And if you think about it in another way, it's more than triple the size of our largest stores. So it's become a proper business and it keeps on growing. Will it ever become like our office UK business of 42%? I don't see that happening, mainly because we don't mind, of course. We'll sell e-commerce, we'll sell in stores, we whatever you want. But we do find that the South African consumer enjoys the shopping mall, the shopping experience. Whereas I do also think in the UK, it's not quite as pleasurable. There's a transport issue. The malls are not as conveniently located near you. It's more of a hassle. Whereas in South Africa, shopping experience is quite a more enjoyable one. Shopping malls are located all over the place. And even in very poor geographies where the community is not that wealthy, you'll tend to find quite a good shopping mall nearby with the best retailers right on your doorstep, and there's an entertainment factor. So I do think e-commerce will continue to grow, particularly in markdown and scarce commodities, you know, sale and sneakers that you can't get anywhere else and that kind of stuff. But I think the shopping experience will always be appealing in South Africa to the South African consumer.
I guess the weather's got to have something to do with it as well. It's nice to get out and about here, whereas in the UK, the weather's not always that great. But your UK business, can you just give us a little bit of background on why you went in there and how the experience has been to date?
Yeah, so it's been, I've actually been running Truworths longer than you think. You're complimenting there because you said 20-some years. It's well over 30 years now, I have to say. But the point is, your arithmetic, but the point is that if you look at the UK, it's been on its own in my career, a completely different journey. We bought it 7, 8 years ago. We had a tough time for 2, 3 years. It brought back memories of the past where we had Sports Girl in Australia and we almost 25 years ago lost a lot of money there and had a terrible experience. And now we bought this business. Why did we buy it? Well, it seemed easier because it's not fashion in the sense that we've got to create the original clothing and fashion and compete with the best-named brands in the world in the middle of London, the fashion center of the world. It's sneakers and Nike, Adidas, all the big brands, Dr. Martin, and all the big brands everyone loves. So we felt that's an easier business for us to get our head around, to establish ourselves. So the first 3 years, we had a tough time. I mean, really, it was really a difficult time for us. And we wondered if we'd maybe made a mistake. But then COVID hit us. And ironically, COVID turned our business around, because during COVID, we discovered amazing things about that business, one of which was e-commerce sales. Some months and weeks were equal to the year before with stores and e-commerce. So you can imagine the shock we got about that. And the scarcity of our brand, because it's so unique, our positioning, and how supportable the big brands like Nike, Adidas, and all of them were to us, and Selfridges. And we sort of realized that we've got a gold mine here. We transitioned. We changed the format of the business, the way it worked, the way it was structured. And essentially, we operated it from then on the way we do true with tighter stock terms, better margins, frugal, all the things we're doing too with. And it's worked. I mean, the store, it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. It's a lovely business. It's doing incredibly well. It's sitting with 100 million rand, 100 million pounds cash. It's just a great business. It's become from a sort of struggling business. So we're all very proud of what we've achieved as a team with amazing people in the UK. So it's a success story as it currently stands.
It's so interesting, the point you make there about Australia being really tough with South Africans. There are a long list of South Africans that went into Australia and struggled. Pick and Pay, yourselves, Imperial. There are many others as well. But in the UK, it seems as though we can do things there. Discovery have done incredibly well with Vitality. Investec, just as two obvious names. Why do you think that is? Why is the UK less of a graveyard, if you like, for South African businesses than the Australians have been?
Well, I'll roll the position slightly differently, because I'll rather talk from my own experience and true words. I don't have enough knowledge about the others you spoke about. I know about them, but I don't feel qualified to comment. In our case, we found that, firstly, to be fair, we bought a business that was insolvent. So we started off under the old World Tour in a difficult situation. I mean, the business was insolvent. We bought it out of insolvency. We thought we'd turn it around, but we were naive. The other thing in Australia, there's very few big malls, and the landlords are dominant there. So you're sort of in a small chain where you've got small stores, you're working for the landlord a lot. So we had a difficult business in a turnaround situation, which we were unable to turn around. We didn't put in, we were naive, we didn't put in our own financial team. There were a lot of things we did wrong, and we overshot it. We didn't have the ability to do what we thought we could do, which kept us very guarded. Interestingly, it's one of the reasons we took so long before we bought something else aboard, and it's one of the reasons you asked me your first question, why did we buy Office? It was because of Sports Girl. If I have to say it, because Sports Girl seemed so much easier. It's UK, one flight, same time scale roughly. We all know England backwards because we go there hundreds of times. We even had an office and still do there. We are very involved in the UK. We understand it well. And we bought sneakers. So it's a different industry. It's less complicated. So for us, it has been a much simpler, more comfortable transition. And I think we also were lucky because we bought a decent business. And we made good decisions from the lessons of Sports Girl. And some things just happened to go well. I mean, some of it is luck. There's no question.
Now, the institutional memory certainly does, it's invaluable in business. Michael, just looking ahead, you've explained that it hasn't been an easy time and that the mood is better, but you're not seeing it translating yet to sales in the stores. Have you got a feeling, with all the many years of your experience, on how long it might take before this does start, or the better mood does start kicking through?
Well, I'm going to answer you in a strange way, but I think, reflects the answer. Our sales plans for the year of 2025 are significantly more optimistic than we've achieved. So we are hoping and anticipating an improvement. my experience tells me, don't expect anything sudden. It's not likely. Acknowledging our base is lower, and it does seem to be improvement. Our credit book is looking healthier. There are turnaround signs, but my experience tells me it will be steady and not dramatic, but a nice steady improvement. And I'm hoping, especially summer 25, from about July, August, September onwards, things should be much better, a much lower base, a much improved economy, I'm hoping. And we have done many things internally that we think could be quite, let's say, exciting. You know, we've got a new distribution center that comes on stream in February, been 3 years being built. That's bringing in a lot of change in our business and our ability to execute better. So there's a lot of things happening internally that make me feel, plus the economic macro situation, more positive, particularly about summer 25 onwards.
So that's for your business, for Truworths. But if you were talking to an entrepreneur who's been just hanging in there and has been hoping after the election, okay, now, as you said earlier, people believe that when there's a change for the better, it's going to happen immediately. Of course, it doesn't. It takes a while to come through. Would you be saying the same thing to them? Just hang in there for summer 2025. Things will be better by then?
No, I'd be saying to them, make sure that, because you can't tell, things happen. I mean, Alec, you've been around as long as me. It never happens the way you think. So, yes, we're feeling more positive, but suddenly there's a new administration in the United States. What's going to happen? I don't know. Are there going to be less wars, more wars? Things are unpredictable about the future. Therefore, if I was talking to a young entrepreneur, I'd say, just make sure your business is a solid one. If you're in financial difficulty and trouble, don't expect the economy to suddenly save you. It's not likely. It may happen and you might get lucky. But the truth is, you've got to run a business without relying on the economy booming. You've got to run a business that can survive, albeit struggle like Truworths has in tough times. You have to. You do get COVIDs. You get things that go wrong. And you haven't got a strong balance sheet and you haven't got good cash flow, and you're already struggling, you have to find a solution. And it's got to be an internal one. It can't be, the economy will save me. It might, but you can't depend on that.
Yeah, so that's it's more really look after by the your... Way. Sorry, Pardon, I missed you there.
No, it's like a philosophical view I've got of business generally. Yes, things save you in the macro, but you can't rely on them.
Just to close off with, Truworths is a fashion business. So if you get it wrong on the fashion that you bring in, you can really hurt the company. How have you managed for so many years to get it right so often and actually just still to be in business given everything else that we've spoken about, all the difficulties, and then you've got this added complexity on top of it. So give us some of your secret sauce there.
It's about systemizing, processing, and running it like a well-oiled machine. You can't rely on creative buyers traveling around the world, buying amazing product, and everything goes well. It's just never going to happen. You've got to have processes, methodology, checks and balances, systems, technology, and accepting that actually it never goes right. I mean, when I say right or wrong, the question is, how much wrong will it go? So when you're lucky, only 30% goes wrong and 70% right. Then it goes great. But sometimes it's 50% wrong or 60% or 70% wrong. You still have to survive. So you've got to run your business expecting a negative and knowing what you'll do when that happens so that you don't get into trouble when things don't go right. They never go completely right. So we think like that. Always plan optimistically, expect good things, but plan for the worst in case it happens and have a plan B. And that's how we think and that's how we survive, because it never goes according to plan.
And so with the only 2% sales growth in total, flat here in South Africa for the first 4 months, are you planning for a much better final eight in the financial year?
I'm planning for a better sales plan and buying merchandise for a better sales plan? Yes, the answer to that. But I'm acutely aware of what I've just said to you. So I'm aware that if I'm wrong and I've got too much stock, I won't waste money by spending too much expense-wise. And I've got a plan in my mind of how, and it's not just me, of course, it's my whole highly competent, experienced team of people who are used to this and think the same way as me. We've got a plan if it doesn't happen, what we'll do so that we won't get into trouble. Does it always work? Sometimes better than others, but we plan for good, but we know that it might not happen and we have a plan B.
Michael Mark is the chief executive of Truworths, and he's been in the saddle since 1988, which is a little more than 23 years. So you work that right out now quickly, in well into the 30s. And I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.